Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you very much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us today for the webcast, Ram Radio, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, Ram Radio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry, which is the biblical alternative. Today is September the 13th, 2012, and as our scripture admonishes us, sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone that asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. We are living in a world of professing Christians, not very many of them left because they don't want to identify that they're Christians. Christians have become shameful, frightened, intimidated by other world religions. And in this webcast, which I believe is very important, globalism is not working these days. No, it is not. When you think about the U.S. ambassador killed by smoke inhalation when his compound was attacked, when you think of the other Muslim countries that has this putrid hatred for us as a nation, you know that globalism isn't working. When you think about our president with his sorry apologizing before the point even comes to the table, we're in a bad state. That's what the feminization of American men can do to this country. Once you're feminized to the degree that you believe in a world of peace when there is no peace. Well, let me start with my commentary and then we'll end up with some Bible verses. And as we go into those Bible verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I just want you to be ready for that. You will know exactly where I'm coming from, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we will start at verse 18. That's where our verses will start. We're living in the times that the Bible speaks about in sections called the end times. When you go to the book of Daniel, when you go to the book of Ezekiel, when you go to the book of Revelation, you will find today's current history staring you square in the face. Under the title study of eschatology, the teachings of the last things before Christ returns to the earth. Wait a minute, I know, these thoughts are so far to the left to some of you that some may think that I am literally out of my mind. You mean Jesus Christ coming back to the planet? When you read the Bible, now, you know, everybody's talking about the Quran, the most holy Quran. Well, I'm talking about the Hagias Biblos, the Holy Bible. I'm just going to make a statement and make it perfectly clear. There is only one holy book for men, and it's the Bible. I feel just as strong as the Muslim does for his Quran. I feel, and we've had the Bible longer than the Quran. As a matter of fact, we had the Bible before we had the Quran. And so I'm not concerned about which came first. The Bible did. Now, because certain people reject the Bible, most people do because of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all of us are depraved creatures. When you look at the mayhem, hey, globalism is not working these days. Holding hands and doing all that stuff, and we are the world, we are the people. No, no. Well, give them money and everything's going to be all right. No, that's no. I know these thoughts. make you think that I'm out of my mind, but that's not so. I do read my Bible. I am on top of things, if you want to call it like that. I've been silent for the past couple of months because I'm not one of those guys that like to scream and holler and say, I told you so. You may be saying, what happened to this John Coleman? He seems to have disappeared in the past few months. We haven't been hearing these dynamic biblical webcasts the way we ought to hear from him. We don't hear from the so-called Rush Limbaugh of black apologetics talking bold about the Bible anymore. No, you haven't been listening. I've been warning you that these times are coming. You think the killing of the American ambassador was something? You wait. You haven't seen nothing yet. Here's a question that I have. Why in the world would you have the American ambassador living somewhere without a cadre of Marines stationed around him to protect him? Why? I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all. So, therefore, if there was no cadre of Marines around that compound, there was a dead giveaway that dude was going to be whacked. I think that our president, oh my goodness. And then he says, I'm going to send 50 Marines from this place over here in another country to go over there. And I'm going to send 2 battleships in the ocean. Yeah, right. America has never been weaker. Once you compromise and go the globalistic route, you lose your intestinal fortitude. Once you become so feminized. I know. Let me continue with my commentary. Listen, I'm watching the news daily, and I'm looking at it from every perspective, not just from CNN, because that is a liberal perspective, not just from Fox, because that's a conservative perspective, not just from Al Jazeera, because that's from the Muslim liberal perspective. No, I can see all of the biblical images clear, and I see the timetable coming to full fruition. Do you? Because that's what we're coming. That is what we're coming to. I chuckle at what many humanists call globalism. Tickles me. This is ridiculous. I will tell you, this planet harbors a certain hatred for peoples that differ from the peoples that we are. That will never change. People will always hate other people that are different from them. Try as you may to bring together all of these peoples in this world, you will fail. Globalism is going to be a failing thing. Gaddafi was whacked. Okay? And everybody thought everything was going to be all right. Now look what's going on. We're pumping money into that place. We send a U.S. ambassador over there making commercials. Oh, I'm for peace. I'm for love. I'm for happy. And I feel sorry for his family. God bless you. I'm sorry for your loss. I really am. I understand he had one security guard that was an ex-Navy SEAL that was also killed with him. That came out on the news today. One? You're the United States ambassador and you have one ex-Navy SEAL? Why don't you have some Marines? Hey, if you had some Marines there, that compound would not have been attacked. Trust me, if you had some Marines there, armed and dangerous, that compound would not have been attacked. You Christians know that. That's what America stood for in the past. That's why nobody would try some mess like that. But an insane bunch of people. But no, when you are cutting the military, cutting the monies, and all of that, you're dead open for catastrophe. But wait a minute. The human experience is as evil as ever. If love was the key from which God seems to honor, and I believe God does, then man's plans will never work. You have to understand that. I am amazed time after time watching man's futile efforts to bring men together. You aren't going to bring no men together. Pumping money into the situation, you're not going to do it. It's a failed system. Look at them. Now, I'm a black man in America. Look at the welfare system in America. Now, you got more white people on welfare than black. But years ago, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when black people were monopolizing on the welfare system, now you got third and fourth generations on welfare. Whole families have never worked. And with this mentality, it's no wonder that our youngsters are completely out of their mind when it comes to that. Oh, my friends, my friends, my friends, I have to tell you, we are living in perilous times. I may sound kind of weird, and I may. I understand, because you're not used to listening to communication like this. I sound weird when I say this, but I believe that if there is not a divine attraction to the God that has created all of us, none of us will ever really be able to get along with each other. Did you hear me? If there is no divine attraction, that means the God of the universe influencing, penetrating, infiltrating our filthy, ravished, depraved hearts, there will never be a globalistic effort of men trying to bring about a utopia. The Bible teaches that. We know that. And that is why America, at least our forefathers, the faith of our country was a Bible faith. And that is why God used to bless America. We never saw these hurricanes and tornadoes hitting this country the way it is, hitting the heartland, the Bible Belt of America. We've turned away from our first love. Since we've turned away from our first love, now our ambassadors are being whacked. Where are the Marines? Man, we've lost our minds. What are you going to try to give somebody a lollipop and a rose and sing peace songs? This isn't the Olympic Games where feudal people are running around with an effort to try to talk about peace. Jesus said they will be screaming peace when there is no peace. But that's all right. We don't want to hear from him, do we? Nobody wants to hear from Jesus these days. Oh, don't bring him up, John. Come on, what are you doing, man? You must be an old Negro talking about Jesus. Man, you still believe in that fairy tale, man. Come on, man, we got globalism. We're going to throw some money into it. We're going to give them a couple of bottles of water. We're going to give them what they need. And oh, man, have you been hearing the news? Wait a minute. Is the nation of Israel our ally or what? You wouldn't think so if you listen to Obama. Did you look at the DNC and see them booing God and booing Israel? I live in Los Angeles. My mayor was the one that gave the vote. Oh, I'm looking at the news every day. I know what I'm talking about. Generation after generation was killed by people. You have to know that. My friends, try as you may bring together all of these people, your efforts will fail. If love is what God chose, I am amazed after watching the news, as I repeat myself, because that will never happen. I may sound kind of weird when I say this, but I believe that if there is no divine attraction to the God that created all of us, none of us will ever be able really to get along. Generation after generation was killed, blown up. We've torn apart each other. We've raped and pillaged each other's lands. Young men have thrown away their lives at the whims of older men in all of their countries that thrive on the smoke of war. and the ash heap of civilization that was destroyed by people that claim to love God. Can you believe it? It is only when we come to know the God of all of creation will our lust for power over other men ceases. Oh, and please, let's not blame this on the Darwinian theory of evolution or some survival of the fittest. Let's take it to its core nature. The nature of man is evil and corrupt throughout. We will kill, pillage, rape, destroy, and dismantle for the sake of the bloodlust that lives in our vile and wicked hearts. Now you may say, my God, preacher, what can stop this mayhem that is tearing us apart? Seeking to establish a world community of peace and love without Christ is futility. I'm telling you the way it is. I know this. Please don't write me off. I have found for myself that the truths of these statements can be depended upon, can be relied upon. I have loved and I shall continue to love on a level that is never satisfied by material gain. My love, brother, is based upon that part of me that continues to strive for the unity of our hearts through the means of pure love and respect for all humanity. And until that takes place, there will not be any globalism at all. Your politicians, your world leaders, and other people like that will not speak of that kind of love for the simple fact that they know not from whence it comes. They don't know how to embrace it. This doesn't come from religion. Trust me. This, what I'm talking about, is not religion. It does not come through these people that speak for God, but in essence speaks for themselves. Because that's what religion is. Religion is a fool's game. That never works. This unique characteristic of love that I'm talking about, of the divine, is a special attribute given by God alone. It is given by God alone to those whose hearts have been uniquely prepared to live these tenets out in their lives without the assistance of any national treaties, any national anthem, any type of writ, right or wrong. This is lived out and represented only through those that will watch our world crumble to ashes and at the same time smile at the venture of God's graces that has been dashed to the curb. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Oh, my friends, my contention is that none other antidote. You listen to PJ. There's no other antidote but that of the nature of redemption through man's only hope. You listen to me. You can write me off all you want to. I'm not concerned about that. Man's only hope is Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the only hope at true liberation, a liberation of love, if you will. Now, I'm going to go to a book that I have in my library. The author is not well known at all, Joseph A. Johnson Jr. He's a black man. He was born of a Methodist minister, born into a Methodist parsonage, and nurtured in the changing scenes of a traveling preacher's family. He says from the time that he could walk, he followed his father and went about ministering to the flock. He knows firsthand the misery, the heartbreak, the sacrifices, the grandeur of being a preacher. He cannot remember a time when he did not want to follow the footsteps of his father. Ah, sounds like a man after my own heart. His love for the ministry and his uncompromising standard of excellence led him to earn the following degrees. He received a B.A. magna cum laude from Texas College in Tyler, Texas. He received an M.T.H. honor graduate from the School of Theology in Denver, Colorado, a doctorate of theology from the School of Theology in Denver, Colorado, a B.D. from Vanderbilt University, Nashville, Tennessee, a Ph.D. from Vanderbilt University, Nashville, Tennessee. He served as professor of New Testament, director of religious services, chairman of the Committee of the Graduate Studies of the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Georgia. He was acting dean of the chapel at Fisk University, Nashville, Tennessee, professor of religion, Fisk University, Nashville, Tennessee, professor of Christian theology and philosophy of religion, Phillips School of Theology in Jackson, Tennessee, president of Phillips School of Theology, Jackson, Tennessee. And then they give the pastorate of all of his churches. He was elected bishop in 1966 in Miami, Florida. And this book reflected his background, experience, his training, and his love for the ministry. Bishop Johnson is well qualified to expose the soul of black preachers, for he is one. I thought that I'd go to my library and choose his text and read a portion of this text to you, as I believe that it would add some clarification to my dialogue here today. And what he does is he chooses as the background of a text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 18 through 24, which I'd like to read to you right now. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Verse 20 says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God is well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, I'd like to read what Bishop says about that. Oh, and by the way, it would be remiss upon me to not tell you that this is a black man that I'm reading from. And I'm quoting. He says, Paul in 1 Corinthians, okay, verses 18 through 24, speaks of the doctrine of the cross. To some, this doctrine is sheer folly. Some of you that are humanists, some of you that have listened to my commentary believes that it is sheer folly. There is no Christ coming back. There is nothing going to happen. The world is going to go on. You just keep living, my friend. To others, it is the power of God. Some thought that the doctrine of the cross was weakness. But to the believers, it is a revelation of the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God. Jesus Christ is the subject of the gospel. And then he says, Jesus, the liberator, is the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God. Paul knew firsthand of the operation of these qualities of wisdom and power and love. He could never quite understand this new wisdom, this new power, or this new love, which he had experienced in Jesus, the liberator. It was a queer kind of wisdom and a love that had chosen him. And indeed, Johnson is right. Because when love grabs you like that and has you going around trying to love everybody, that is better than globalism, my friend. That is the power of God working in a lone human heart. Johnson goes on and says, one who had been a persecutor of the church and now summoned to be a messenger of the crucified, risen Lord, he could never comprehend this kind of love that had permitted Jesus, God's only Son, to die on the cross for the salvation of men, Paul is astonished and amazed at this new revelation of love. And then Johnson quotes Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, which says, "While we were yet helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man would one dare to even to die, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then Bishop Johnson goes on in this marvelous treatise, this paperback book, this book that is an uncommon treatise that nobody would read. It says, "Paul's new life was determined by this encounter with Jesus, the liberator." You see, Johnson keeps putting Jesus where he needs to be as the liberator. This new life, which was God-given, was a life of grace. And he shouts, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. I experience this wisdom and this power and this love." Paul defines his power of God unto salvation. It was a new kind of power, a power that had granted him freedom to life, righteousness, peace, and joy, and also a freedom from sin. See, a freedom from blowing up each other, from killing the U.S. ambassador. My friend, if you have religion, religion ain't going to do you no good. I don't care if you carry a Bible or a Quran. If you got hatred in your heart, that is not God. You need Jesus, the liberator. You don't need Christianity. You don't need Islam. You don't need Judaism. You need Jesus, the liberator. Do you hear me? Now listen. He goes on and says, "The liberating power of Jesus had emancipated him and set him free. He exhorts his fellow Christians, 'For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery,'" quoting Ephesians 5 and 1. Then Bishop Johnson goes on and says, "Jesus the Liberator had given to Paul not only freedom, but also a new self-understanding." Are you listening to me? Because that's what I've been saying for the past few months. I have a new self-understanding about myself. I love everybody. I'm not thinking about no cotton-picking religious church that can't love nobody. They don't love the gays. They don't love other people that are different cultures, races, nothing. I don't want to be a part of that group of hypocrites. Look at here. And you deal with those social issues on your own with an open Bible. My goodness. I'll address that at another date. Johnson goes on and says, "This new self-understanding, according to Boltman," he's quoting a theologue, "is bestowed with faith, and it is freedom through which the believer gains life and thereby his own self." Do you know what Boltman is saying? You don't even know who you are unless you've been freed on this capacity. Those of you that are Muslims, listen to me. Listen. I'm not talking about following the Quran or Islam. I'm talking about following God. All right. You're not reading me. Paul discovered that he who belongs to Jesus the Liberator and thus to God has become master of everything. He declares to the Christians at Corinth that this grace freedom event, which they had experienced in Jesus, the liberator, place the whole world at their disposal. Now, let me give you the scripture that Bishop Johnson uses. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, "So let no one boast of men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." Then Johnson goes on and says, "Jesus is a liberator. He is a revelation of the wisdom, the power, and love of God. This was the message which the early Christian preachers were commissioned to proclaim. This message was called the kerygma." In other words, We preach Christ, Paul shouts. At the heart of the kerygma lies the fundamental Christological affirmation, Jesus is the liberator, Jesus is the emancipator. Now, I'm going to stop right there because he gets into Tillich, Kierkegaard, and everything, and I love this philosophical banter going on here. The name of the book, it's a paperback book called The Soul of the Black Preacher by Bishop Joseph A. Johnson, Jr., and it was copyrighted in 1971 by United Church Press. It has a Library of Congress number 70-162411. The ISBN number is 0-8298-0193-6. And it was dedicated to the delegates of the 26th General Conference and the 25th Quadrennial Session in 1966, and the 26th Quadrennial Session and the 27th General Conference of the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. So he was a CME preacher. I believe I received this book from a friend of mine, Pastor Jimmy Washington. I came across his book. What a brilliant mind. What a brilliant mind. Let me say this. I should go back to and read a lot of books in my library. I think this commentary today adds some purpose to the news briefs that we've been reading. You may not agree with the CMEs and the AMEs and the Baptists and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Charismatics and all that kind of religious stuff, because I don't believe in none of that, any of it. I do adhere to brilliance and Bishop Joseph A. Johnson, Jr. is a brilliant brother. I don't know whether he's still alive. I'd love to find out if he is. I think I'll call James and ask, is he still alive? Because he is one brilliant brother. And I like his writing about Jesus the Liberator. If you want to be free from all of the Tom foolishness that's going on in the world today, and if you want your heart to be set free from all of the banter of the back and forth, I got to share this with you. It was not on man's terms and initiative, but on God's, that man found what he needed. The power of God and the wisdom of God is all found in the preaching of Christ crucified. God called people by opening their eyes to faith to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we are to do. I'd just like to add something to this as I look at verses 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes and he says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong." And look what he says in verse 28, "And the base things of the world and the despise, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are." Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful testimony right here, because as we look at this in verses 26 through 31 is really talking about this. Were not the situation so grievous, one would almost imagine a smile on Paul's face as he wrote these words and urged the Corinthians to survive their own congregation from a human vantage point of wisdom and influence. And the high breeding were apparently in short supply. But if God had chosen on the basis of such criterion, he would have passed by people like me. but he turned the world standards upside down and usually chose the ordinary rather than the outstanding in order that no one may boast before him. God has chosen the things that look to be weaker, that look to be simpler, but those are the things that will justify. Why did he do that? That no one should boast. Look at verse 29. Let me read it to you. It says, so that no man may boast before God. See, that's why he did that. But only in the Lord. For Christ alone personified the wisdom that is full of God. Look at verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification as well as redemption. So in him, we see that the Corinthian church experienced this righteousness, that is, this justification of holiness. Now you got to go to Romans 4, 24 and 25. Let me read it to you. It says, But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Listen to me. He who has delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So I want you to understand that before you continue to operate on this mode what John is saying doesn't mean anything. No one is listening to that message anymore. I'm going to tell you people something. You can get together with the UN. You can get together and vote for Romney. You can vote for Ron Paul. You can vote for Obama. Anyone you want to. I will tell you that there's something far greater than anything that you can ever think. I don't want to push this down anyone's throat. I don't want to try to make you believe that, you know, if you don't believe me, that you're going to hell and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to do that because that's not what this is all about. That's not what this is all about. My webcasts are never about that. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to hell, nor am I going to tell you because you go to some church or something that you're going to heaven. I'm not going to be as foolish enough to try to put my opinion in on you. I don't know to what degree your level of love is for God. If you're of the Islamic faith or a Muslim and you love God that created all human beings on this planet, may he continue to bless you and prosper you in all ways. I'm not going to bring about this hateful Jesus that many of the evangelicals espouse, especially if bombs have fallen from drone jets and blown up your loved ones in Afghanistan or Iraq somewhere. I know you got a right to be upset. If my whole family was blown up, I probably wouldn't want to look at another Muslim and you know, without taking out a machete and start slicing people up myself. I know that without God, without Christ in your heart, man, you know, you're in bad shape. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Without the Lord Jesus in you, you are going to find yourself in the worst shape that you've ever been in, especially as you are trying to coincide or to live peacefully next to a human being in this world. It is almost humanly impossible for you to live next to a human being in this world and love them on the level of that you need to love them without Christ in your heart. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart to help you love on that level. And what we need to do is we need to get serious about this as we see our world deteriorating around us. People get together, and you know what? Please don't look to your president. I would look to a cadre of Marines. That's what I'd look to. See, because they train them boys. I love them boys. Them boys get over there with all their armory. They would have fought for the ambassador. They would have fought and died for the ambassador. You hear me? You got one lone, wait a minute, one lone retired Navy SEAL to protect you. I think the gentleman was 42 years old. And you're the ambassador to a country that's been torn apart by the assassination of a so-called tyrant leader. But this leader could have, well, this leader has people that love him. See, that leader had people that loved him. But that's what we do, don't we? We run over there thinking that everybody's going to embrace globalism and American ideas. Everybody's not going to embrace that. And I just want those of you to listen to me to know this, that these people will kill you in a minute, just like they will kill me. If a Muslim that is an extreme Muslim hates what I'm saying, they will send somebody here to my house and chop my head off. I just hope I can love them before they pull the blade, man. I know that sounds crazy to you, but I love people. And I, you know what? We need to stop all this bloodshed. We need to stop it. Well, with that gasp, I think I'll end the webcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, and God bless you. Whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay into the blessed word of God. Bye-bye.